We're on Daf Tzadi Heyamid Beis, right near the beginning of the wide lines. The Gemara had offered a summary of 3 out of 4 cases. In case number one, the seller said to the buyer, Martev Shel Yayin and Lemikpa, which means not only am I selling you a seller of wine without pointing to a specific seller of wine, but he also says that the wine is on the highest level and it could enhance the taste of a tavshil of cooking. In that case, the seller has to offer the buyer and deliver a seller of wine that's made up of the superior wine without any admixture of wine that has begun to smell like vinegar. In the second case, he said, Martev Zeshel Yayin, pointing out to a particular Martev, as if to say, take whatever the quality of the wine therein had accepted, V'yomalo Lemikva. But at the same time, he says that the wine is worthy for cooking and adds to the taste. In such a case, we have sort of like Shnei Ksuvim V'Machishim said, on the one hand he said Zeh, which usually lowers the quality of the wine as far as the transaction is concerned. On the other hand, he said Lemikva, which requires living up to the highest standards of wine. So how do we work out this compromise, so to speak? And that's where we have the rule of the Mishnah that Lokech accepts upon himself 10% of wine that's begun to become chometz. It means it has the smell of vinegar. Then we have clearly the third case where he sells him a Martev Zeshel Yayin. He did not add Lemikva, that it's worthy for cooking. In such a case, he can give him the barrels of wine in the cellar, even though they're all, the entire collection is made up of wine that has begun to get sour, to become chometz. And now is where we start the Gemara for today. But what about the fourth case, which was omitted in the summary? And that is Martev Shel Yayin V'lo Omar Lo Lemikpa. He said Martev Shel Yayin, which seems to indicate that he's selling him the highest level of wine. He didn't say the word Zeh that lowers it. But on the other hand, he did not add that it is suitable for cooking. My, what's the halacha in such a case? So on the one hand, the absence of the word zeh would seem to indicate, that's what we call yayin stam, that he wants to give him a supply of the best wine. On the other hand, he left out the word lemikfa, that it's worthy for cooking. That would seem to indicate by omission that he's giving kosisos, which means the wine that's begun to smell like vinegar. And how do we reconcile between these two? And the Rashbam explains that the second side would argue that a buyer of a storehouse of wine, when it was sold stam, has in mind that it should be the best level. He doesn't want to sell it in the store immediately because it's very quickly becoming vinegar. And yayin in this case is not similar to the other cases that we spoke about when you sell produce and there's an admixture of impurities where once again the lokeach is forced to accept upon himself 10%, for example, in the case of figs that begin to deteriorate, and he's mochel on that 10%. In those cases, the significance of the produce that he's buying is on a less level than yayin. And on the other hand, the admixture of impurities or the deterioration and the spoilage of the fruit is something that is absolutely commonplace. In the case of yayin, each barrel unto itself is quite large, quite significant, and it's not common that when you go down to the cellar, you'll find barrels of wine that are kosisim, that have already begun to smell like vinegar. Therefore, in the case of yayin stam, according to the second tzad in this suffix that the Gemara is presenting, the supplier would have to supply all good wine. The Rashbam explains that the first tzad in the suffix is that we should equate yayin with a case of impurities in general in wheat, in figs, and even in the case of a martev shel yayin, it's quite common to find that the wine has begun its process of becoming vinegar. It's on its way down, the spoilage has set in. And the Gemara answers that pligi ba Rav Acha Ravina, there is machlokus on this question of martev stam v'lo omer lo l'mikva between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad omer, according to one opinion, in this case where the seller omitted the word l'mikva, is like the other cases of impurities listed in the Mishnah. Makabel, the lokeach, accepts upon himself the 10% of kosher salts. V'chad omer, but the other opinion says lo makabel, but rather the mocher has to supply the lokeach with 100% of yayin kula yofel, of good wine, the top quality wine, even though the seller did not say l'mikva, that it's suitable for cooking. But the very fact that he spoke about a martev shel yayin, where every barrel is large, it's significant, it's worth a lot, and the process of souring is not something that's anticipated. The second opinion quoted in the Gemara, we don't know if it's Rav Acha or Ravina, maintains that the lokeach was not makabel, he did not mochel or accept upon himself anything but the best level of yayin. And the Gemara now explains where these two opinions, these two Amoraim, derived or based their conclusions in terms of the Brisos that we've been studying here on Daf Tzadihei. Mandi Omar Mekabel, according to the opinion that equates Martef Shel Yayin with the other cases mentioned in the Mishnah where the Lokech accepts upon himself the second quality, the percentage of spoilage. Diek mit Rav Zvid, he derived his conclusion from the Braisa of Rav Zvid. And the Rashbam explains that what it says in the Gemara, that this opinion derived it from a meticulous reading of Rav Zvid, it doesn't necessarily mean that he based himself and derived his conclusion from the Braisa of Rav Zvid. Because, as we'll soon see, to the same extent that he was very careful about the reading of that Braisa, he could have been careful about reading the other Braisa, which is the opinion of the second of his Bar Pluta. But rather, each member of this debate derived his conclusion from his own Svara, and he reflected it as the sheet of one of the two braisos. So when the Gemara says that this man, the Omer, was medayik from Rav Zvid, or the other from the other braisa, it means that he feels that Rav Zvid had his opinion, and Rav Zvid therefore supports his opinion. Or the second braisa had his opinion, reflects his opinion, and supports his opinion. But the svaras themselves are original svaras, and the machlokas is an original svara. The Gemara says the following: Mandi Omar Mekabel Deik Miros Diktoni. The Braisa of Rav Zvid says that Martev Shel Yayin Ani Mocher Loch No Sein Lo Yayin Shekulo Yofer. The language of the Braisa is that he sells a Martev Shel Yayin. And Okimna, we interpreted that Braisa of Rav Zvid is referring to Omer Leila Mikva, where the seller stipulated that the merchandise, in this case the wine, was of the highest level it could be used as an ingredient in cooking and enhance the taste of the cooking. Let's be medayik time of the reason why the seller is required to supply the buyer with the perfect wine, the best quality wine, is the Omer Leila Mikva, because the seller had added the word Lemikva. Holo Omer Leila Mikva, had he omitted the word Lemikva, telling him that it's worthy for cooking, Mekabel, the Lokeach, would have accepted and would have to accept the wine that's beginning to spoil. And according to this opinion, that's the way we paskin. We accept la halacha, that opinion, and that's brought down in many Rishonim, and we inject this into the interpretation of our Mishnah, because when you read our Mishnah, it would seem that we're talking about Martev Stam, and there was no addition of the word lemikvah. And when Rav Zvid in his Brisa said Martev Zeshel Yayin, and then he had lemikvah, that's the case of Otzer, of a storage house of wine, that was the subject of our Mishnah. And when he says Ze Martev Zeshel Yayin, Zev is Lav Dafka. And this would apply even in the case of Martev Stam. The Lokech accepts upon himself the wine that begins, that has already begun to become vinegar. Then the Gemara says, Uman di Omar lo mekabel. And the second opinion amongst the Amoraim that requires that the supplier supply the buyer with the best quality wine, and the buyer need not accept any inferior wine, Mibraisa derived his conclusion, or as we said before, supported his conclusion with the Braisa that was brought down here on Tzadi Heyam and Aleph. The Ketani, it says there, Martev shel yayin ani mocher loch, no sein lo yayin shekulo yofe, v'ukimna delo amar leila mikpah. And the brisa of Yayin Stam, which requires that the mocher supply all 100% barrels wine of Yafeh, the finest quality, is interpreted to be referring to a case of Delo Amar Leh LeMikvah, where the mocher did not stipulate that he's selling it for cooking, you know, that the quality of the wine is suitable for cooking. Because that explanation of adding the word lemikvah, that was for the other brisa of Martev Zeh, where he added the word mikvah, and that was the one that we tried to balance before with a compromise. The Gemara asks, Uleman de Dayek Mirav Zvid Kashya Brisa, why is it that the brisa of Taftari Heyom and Aleph that said, no sein lo yayin shekul yofe, which means that the lokeach is not going to accept anything but the best wine, how does that reconcile itself with this man di omar? Is chisuri mechzer avach ketoni, we have to add some words to the brisa, the beginning of the brisa. Bamei dvarim amurim, when is it true that the lokeach has to accept upon himself, I'm sorry, that the lokeach will accept and receive 100% great yayin without any kosasos, the amar lei, when the mocher said to lokeach lemikvah, holo amar lei lemikvah, mekabel, the lokeach does accept the kosasos. Umartev zeh shel yayin, holo amar lei lemikvah, no sein lo yayin hanimkar bechanus. And at the end of the brisa of Rav Zvid, if he points to a specific martef and he says, this is what I'm selling you, and that martef is full of wine that has to be sold urgently in the stores because it's about to become vinegar, that's exactly what the lokech would accept because the mocher said, Zeh. Uleman de daik mi brisa. According to the second opinion, that we are medayik from the brisa, that despite the fact that the mocher omitted the word lemikvah, nevertheless the lokech has a right to demand 100% of Yayin Yofeh, is Kashid Rav Zvid. We have to somehow reconcile this opinion with the Brice of Rav Zvid, Do Kimna, Di Omer Leh LeMikvah. that only in the case, Rav Zvid's Braisa, that he added, the mocher added lemikvah, then and only then is the mocher required to supply 100% of high quality wine. But in indicating that lo amar le lemikvah, he left out the word lemikvah makabel. We now are saying that Sada Stam, according to this Amora, even though he did not add the word lemikvah, he nevertheless is obligated to provide 100% of the high quality wine. So the Gemara answers that even the Braisa of Rav Zvid also holds that way. Hu adin the afgav de lo amale lemikvah lo makabel. That even though the mocher omitted the word lemikvah, nevertheless the lokeach still has rights to demand 100% of the high quality wine. V'haidu kimta, and that which we interpreted the brisa the amale lemikvah, that only ki'ilu, as if to say that only if the mocher added the stipulation that it was for cooking, only then is he the mocher required to give the high quality wine 100%. Mishum the kasha ze'aze, because if not, we would have a stira between the brises, as far as Martev Zeshel Yayin. But Enochinamina Martev Shel Yayin Stam, according to this particular opinion, everybody agrees, even in the absence of the word lemikvah, the moch has to supply 100% top quality wine and nothing less. The lokech is not required to accept anything less, as we explained before, because a barrel of wine is not like produce, it's not like fruits, it's very significant, and the lokeach does not anticipate that the wine that's being sold to him is wine that is that urgently must be sold in the marketplace, because its date of termination is coming very quickly. Now, at this point, the sugya becomes quite fascinating, and the analogy here is between the laws of yayin, as it's defined in Hilchas Mechira, when the seller sells the buyer wine, what's included in that sale, what defines wine, and is the process of deterioration and souring and becoming vinegar, is that undermine the status of this liquid as wine? And the laws of Birchas Hanenim, we're required, of course, to make a bracha before we enjoy this world, and the brachas become very specific. For example, in the case of wine, instead of reciting a shakal di avidvara, general bracha, it's replaced by a specific bracha, and that is bori priya gofen. Now, one more introductory point has to be made here when we talk about the status of wine that began to deteriorate, and the question is whether it still qualifies as wine and generates a bori priya gofen or it's no longer wine, is that we're talking about a process that begins when the smell of the wine turns to that of vinegar. Even though the change is not absolutely profound and the taste itself is still the taste of wine, but once the smell is that of vinegar, then we know that this process is very quickly coming to its fruition. And that even though right now maybe the taste is still that of wine, it's very quickly becoming chometz. And the machlokus is going to be whether or not you can give a din, a status, a shame of yayin to something that is so rapidly becoming chometz, they're already simonim nikarim, it's already changed in its smell. And we know that when we enjoy food, the smell plays a tremendous role here. Or should we say no? That even though the smell makes it like chometz, but nevertheless it still has a din of yayin. And our sugi is going to present a machlokes. And there are two dinim that seem to be interdependent in the premise of the sugi. Namely, what is the bracha and whether or not it's wine as far as other dinim are concerned. We've already seen that whether or not it's wine as far as Mekach u'Memkar is one issue. Now the Gemara is going to go on to invoke a different sugya, and that is the question of Trumas of Maisris. Because when you mafresh Truma Maiser, so the Truma has to be taken off from the same min as the balance of the fruits or the vegetables. Is Mesve, the Gemara asks the following question. Before we get to Mesve, Omar of Yehuda, first let's present the two sheets. I don't think we read it inside. Yayin ha-nimkar b'chanus. We have this wine that, because it's spoiling, it has to be sold immediately in the storehouses, because in the storefronts, because right now it is already smelling like vinegar. Is nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mivarchin olav borei pri agofen. It still has the status of yayin, and the bracha is borei pri agofen. Rav Chisda Amar, gabi chamra di akrim lomali. Why are you making a bracha lomali? Why are you justifying a bracha borei pri agofen on wine that has become vinegar? That's akrim. It has become vinegar. In other words, once it has the smell of vinegar, it has the same din as chometz is vinegar, and therefore the bracha shakol diyavidvaro. Meisve, the Gemara asks the kashan Rabbi Yehuda, who maintains the old bracha of borei pri agofen, and this is from a brisa mesechta brachos daf mem amid beis al apas sheipsha. What bracha, according to this brisa, do you recite over a bread that's begun to spoil? It's already moldy. And then the Braisa goes on to ask, what brach do you make on wine that's shehikrim, that's already begun to koses, it's very close to becoming vinegar? The altavshil sheubra tsuroso. And what about some sort of cooked food, let's say vegetables, for example, that have begun to spoil? The Braisa commits itself to the position that Omer Shakal Nia Bidvara, the pas is no longer lechem, the yayin is no longer yayin, and the vegetables are no longer bari pri hadama. It's not a vegetable anymore, it's begun to spoil. And again, it's not completely spoiled, because then you wouldn't even make a shahakol, there would be no brach at all, but it's in that middle stage where the spoilage has begun. And the Braisa really teaches us that you don't make the special bracha of Birkas HaMotzi on this moldy bread, because once it becomes moldy, it's not lechem. And the wine that's begun to become vinegar is not wine. You can't recite Bor Pri HaGofen. And the Tavshil is no longer, or I said it was vegetables. The Rashbam says it's mizonos. It's got some pasta in it, and it's no longer considered mizonos. And the general bracha that includes everything when it's not specific is shakal niyavidvara. So the Gemara now tries to defend Rabbi Yehuda against this brice that seems to contradict Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Zvid, mod Rabbi Yehuda bepurtzema demizdaban akarnasa. This brisa is talking about a case not of the beginning process of the wine becoming vinegar, but it's already in a very advanced stage. It's akarnosa. Akarnosa is a place where you sell something cheap, meaning those who are perhaps on the run, they don't have time to go into the big stores, or maybe their funds are limited. They buy in these little bodegos, these little crossroads kind of supermarkets, and they buy, you know, lower quality, inferior quality stuff at a reduced price, presumably. Like, for example, let's say you have milk that's about to expire, you know, the date of expiration is fast approaching. Those are sold at Karnosa on the street corners. That's called the Kronos Sheveparshas Hadrochim. And in such a case that the wine has reached that stage where you can't sell it to the downtown stores, the supermarkets, you have to sell it to these Kronos Peparshas Drachim, that is a case where even Rabbi Yehuda would agree the wine has spoiled to such an extent that it lost its status as wine. And the bracha, as indicated by the brisa we learned, is Shakol Nia Bidvara. And let's just summarize the Gemara's answer now. The Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is moda in a case where the wine has reached this lowest level that it's no longer wine, and you cannot justify the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen. The machlokas on the other hand between Rav Yehuda and Rav Chisda revolves around the case of wine that smells like sour, you know, vinegar, but it still maintains the taste of wine. It looks like wine, it tastes like wine. That's where Rav Yehuda claims that it still is wine, and it justifies the bracha Borei Pri HaGafen. But if the case is that this wine can only be sold on the corners, that means that this is not, you know, wine that's even middle quality. It's literally the bottom of the barrel. It cannot be sold in the shops. You can only find people on the streets, you know, street corners. It's like buying soda. You know, if you're a street corner, you know, they have all sorts of sellers there, and you know, people aren't medagdic exactly what the quality is. They're very thirsty. They got to get something, and they buy indiscriminately. And that's a serious physical change that has undermined and negated the status of the wine as wine. Omalei Abayil Rav Yosef, HaRav Yehuda, HaRav Chisda, Man, Keman Svirle. Here the opinions of Rav Yehuda and Rav Chisda respectively as to whether or not wine that's sold in the store and has to be sold immediately because the process of becoming vinegar has begun, is the bracha still Borei Pri HaGafen, that's Rav Yehuda, or is it shakal according to Rav Chisda? Who do you hold like Rav Yosef? Amalei and Rav Yosef responded, Masnisa Yondana. I know a brisa. And what we're going to have to do is, we're going to have to learn this brisa very thoroughly and see if we can conclude, based on this brisa, who's right. Does the brisa agree and reflect the shita of Rav Yehuda or the shita of Rav Chisda? So really, what Rav Yosef answered to Abaye is that after we understand this brisa, we'll be able to see how Rav Yosef proved one way or the other, like either Rav Yehuda or Rav Chisda, from the brisa. And now we're about to turn to Daf Tzadivav Amud Aleph. Please do. Let's learn the brisa. This brisa is a Tosefta in the fourth perek of Trumas. And we're talking about a case of someone who has barrels of wine that are tevel. And he wants to designate one of those barrels so that he could take wine out of that barrel and designate it as truma, and with hafrash of the wine in that barrel to potter up all the wine in all the other barrels. But the issue is that he's got to check his barrel from time to time in order to make sure that the wine is still wine. It hasn't turned to vinegar. Because if it has, then it cannot be used for the afrasha of Trumas and Maisris. It won't be valid because it loses its status as Trumas Yayin. And according to the premise of this brisa, we define Yayin and Chometz as two different entities. So again, as we said before, the Baal HaBayis has to check the barrel that was designated by tasting it from time to time. Again, when he tastes it, he's obviously going to have to be mafrish maser before he trumas and maaser before he tastes it. Otherwise, he's violating the iser of tevel. And the brisa says that abodik es achavis, when he tastes the wine to check to make sure it's still wine and it hasn't become vinegar, lios mafrish ala truma, so that now he can use it as truma, v'holech, and rely on this bedika, and that bedika, that inspection should be sufficient, so that from now on he can rely henceforth that the barrel is wine and use it for afrashas trumas and maisris. And let's say, for example, if he intends to sell his wine, the example he gives is male lugim, so he declares, because usually truma is 2%, two lugin of the wine in this barrel is going to be truma on behalf of the other 98 lugim that I have in the other barrels. And he doesn't actually have to take out the two lugim from the barrel, because as Rashi says at the beginning of Masechet Nida, Truma Niteles B'Machshava. And you don't have to actually do the Maisa Afrasha, Machshava is sufficient. Now, the Ran in Pesachim writes that in any case that a person has to designate a Truma, a certain part of a barrel for Truma, he should say, Me'alugim amnimtsoim lemalo bisfas hakarkoi hachoves. Either should designate the truma that's in the wine on the top of the barrel, near the lip of the barrel, o lemata bekarkeiso, or the wine that's all the way on the bottom of the barrel. But if he says stam, he doesn't designate, and he just says lugim amnimtsoim bechoves, the Ran holds lo omar klum. And he's got to designate wine either at the top of the barrel or the bottom of the barrel. Rashi seems to disagree with that. And if he just says Shnei Lugim Bechavis Plonis Truma, then the Truma is Chal, even though he didn't designate a specific part of the barrel, the top or the bottom. And the Rishonim want to understand here, how is it that he can be Mafrish for the benefit of the other chavios, based on the yayin here in this chavis? The law is that truma has to be taken min hamukov, meaning from that part which is right there. Here it's one barrel and another barrel. And Tosus in Masechta Gittin writes that this must be referring to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. They made a separate takana allowing truma shalom min hamukov. Or as the Rambam has it in Hilchos Trumas Perek Hey, the din of min hamukov is a requirement lechatchila, and our discussion here in this price is b'dieved, or the way Tosfos Rid seems to say it, and that's at the end of Masechta Bava Kama, that the din of mukov, that requirement is only in Truma Doraisa, and dafka hamaat shebemaat shemechuyv midoraisa tzarch min hamukov. You know, mina Torah chita achas poter sakri. So on a derice level, the smallest volume of wine would be sufficient for the afrasas truma. Anything beyond the mashu, whether it's 1 out of 40, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 6, that's all derabanan, and that doesn't require mina mukov. The Ramban is of the opinion that in order to prevent a takola from an amoritz, that he shouldn't eat tevel, you could be mafrish even shalom in amukov. And that's the case that we're dealing with now. So this is a mitigating circumstance that justifies taking shalom in amukov. It could be possible that our Bryce is talking about a case where in fact it is min amukov. For example, let's say there was a covering over all the chavis, one common cover over all the barrels. All the barrels themselves were open, and he put one large lid or covering over all the barrels. That might make him an amukaf, like we do in the case of challah. In any event, he's already designated those two lugim of that particular barrel as truma v'acharkach. Then a month goes by, or 2 months goes by from the original Bedika, and lo and behold, Nimtzeis Chometz. So we have a contradiction here between the first Bedika and the last Bedika. What was the status of the wine in between these two Bedikas, at the beginning of the month and at the end of the month? At the beginning of the month, it was still wine. And now, at the end of the month, lo and behold, it's already Chometz. Now, did it become chometz immediately after the first bedika, or did it become chometz right before the last bedika? And that's going to determine the status of all that hafrasha in between. Now, if we assume that the wine immediately after the first bedika began to become vinegar, then all of the wine that he wanted to fix up through the afrasha still retains its status as tevel. And what's fascinating here is that you've got a retroactive situation, meaning now that he makes the bedikah and he finds it chometz retroactively, all his hafrashos until now, according to one sad in the Gemara, in this brisa, might be tevel. They're not valid hafrasha. We don't recognize that hafrasha. Now, exactly what we do in such a case is indicated by the ambiguous. When I say ambiguous, means a statement that lends itself to more than one interpretation. Formulation here at the end of the brisa. The brisa says, "Kol shlosha yomim vada mikan v'yelech safek." For a 3-day period following the bedika, or maybe before the bedika, we'll have to see, there's a status of vadai. And the suffix is going to apply and in any period of time other than those 3 days, and that suffix means that we don't know if the afrasha was valid or not valid. My kamar. So the Gemara now offers two interpretations of the verdict, the ruling that's offered here by the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi Kamar, Kol Shloshi Amar Rishonim Vadai, that the first 3 days subsequent to the Bdika, the original Bdika, that's not a suffix. Why? Because the process of becoming vinegar takes at least 3 days. And he knew on that Sunday it was unadulterated wine, it was pure wine, and therefore Monday and Tuesday we can assume, going into Wednesday, that it was wine. Mikan v'el, but after Wednesday, with 3 days have passed since the first bedika, safek. Now we assume the process of hachmotza, of a becoming vinegar, of becoming chometz, has begun. And in such a case, given that assumption, we have a safek, and any of the tevel in between that he was masakin would have to be subject to a replacement of afrasha. And the reason for that is that although for the first 3 days he could absolutely rely on the wine for afrasha, but after that not. And it could be that immediately after the first 3 days, the process of achmatza started immediately on the fourth day. And after 3 days, it already might have turned to chometz. Now, it could be that what Rabbi Yochanan means, and this is what I think he means, is that during the first 3 days subsequent to the bdika, the process of achmatz has begun, but it won't get to the point in which it's really chometz for at least a minimum of 3 days. So that's why the first 3 days, although the achmatza process has begun, it has not yet created that profound change in the wine to force us to assume that it's chometz. Now, that which he was mafrish after the first 3 days, as we said, needs a replacement afrosha to be masaking the tevel, but again, only because of suffix, because Rabbi Yochanan says, mikam v'yelech suffix. Now, what we would have to analyze here, is there any difference between a replacement, a chazara of truma v'toras vadai, and a chazara of afrosha truma v'toras suffix? And the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim, says that he has to be mafrish his truma from each one of the chavios themselves. He cannot be torem from yayin that might be tevel, which he has someplace else. Why? Because again, it's this suffix situation, and maybe this yayin is not vinegar, and therefore the original afrasha was valid. And if he's going to be mafrish other tevel onto this wine, he's going to be mafrish what's called menachiyuv al aptur. So there are very significant repercussions here to the labeling, the categorization of the wine after the first 3 days as suffix. And again, this suffix is that we don't know what, you know, how drastic or how profound of a vinegaration process has begun at that point after the first 3 days. Is it really chometz or is it not? So therefore, the truma that is in the original barrel after the first 3 days of the bedika has a din of truma l'chumra in both directions. We're going to have to tell the czar, the non-kohen, that he's not allowed to drink from this wine because it has a din of truma. But on the other hand, we have to be machmir and require a replacement hafrasha, because even though he went ahead and he was mafresh these other barrels, he has not removed or undermined the status of tevel, because it's only a suffolk. My taimor, the Gemara now embellishes the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, chamra me'iloi akar. The process of hachmotza, of becoming chometz, begins with the wine on the top. V'hai te'ime v'lo akar. And the top wine, he tasted. He didn't dig his spoon all the way to the bottom. He took off, skimmed off from the top. And lo and behold, he tasted it. And in the first bedikah, it passed the test, and it had a tam of yayin. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, when the Brisa speaks about Gimel Yomim, Kol Shloshi Yomim, and according to Rabbi Yochanan it means Yomim Harishonim, the first 3 days after the first Bedika, it must be that the Yayin begins its process of Achmatz of Milamala, because if, as we'll soon see in the other opinion of Shuman Levi, that the Achmatz begins on the bottom of the barrel, then how does Rabbi Yochanan rely on the Bedika, which presumably was from the top of the barrel? Because maybe there's Achmatz problem, a process that's going on the bottom of the barrel, even in 2 days period, and he doesn't know about it. Imtim tzolomar basar d'te'imei okar. Even if I'll grant you the worst case scenario, that immediately following in the footsteps of his original Bedika, the Tam began to become hachmotza, even in this case it doesn't matter, because until 3 days pass from the beginning of the hachmotza, havirecha chal, although it does have the smell of vinegar, again after the bedika, during the 3 days, but time of the chametz, it still has the taste of chometz. V'chol recha chal, any situation of wine that although it has the smell of vinegar, v'taime chamra, since it has the taste of wine, is chamra. The din is chamra. So clearly, again, if we were to swing back to the original question of Rav Chisda and Rav Yehuda as to what bracha you should make on wine that begins its vinegarization process, the answer is to make a bar priya gofen, because as long as it still has the taste of wine, it is yayin. Rav Yishuv ben Levi Omar, no. That's not what the Brisa means, but rather Kol Shloshes Yom Achronim, the 3 days indicated by the Brisa in the last statement, is a reference to the last 3 days that led up to the second Bedika. So we're going backwards from the second Bedika. And Vadai, since he finds that indeed in the second Bedika the Ayin has turned to Chometz, we assume that already 3 days earlier, the process couldn't have happened overnight, it took at least 3 days, and it had already become chometz during this three-day period. And mikan v'ulahalon, now we're going backwards, the arrow is going backwards in time, from before 3 days, already 4 days ago, safek, that already becomes a safek. And the Gemara is now going to explain the underlying logic of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now, we pointed out that Rebbe holds that you cannot be mafresh chometz on yayin, because chometz and yayin are two different entities. There's a gigantic machlokes in the Rishonim about the chachomim of Rebbe, whether they agree to that. And according to those Rishonim that the chachomim disagree with Rebbe, then it would seem that even before the 3 days it should be a vadai truma, and there's no requirement to replace the hafrasha, because vinegar has the same status, it's min echad, one species with wine. Now the question is with regard to the chiyuv hafrasha in this case, keep in mind that he was mafresh two lugim out of the whatever X number of lugim were in the first barrel that he designated for afrasha, and now requiring a replacement hafrasha for the other barrels. What about the original barrel? Can we assume that at least the original barrel had its takana, and the hafrasha as far as that barrel was concerned was fine? Because although we see that now it's chometz, but originally it was certainly yayin, and that's going to be a to-do. And Rabbi Akiva Sofer, the famous Chassam Sofer family, that's also part of Rabbi Kivega's family, his name is Akiva, he holds that you have to be mafrish even on tevel that was already eaten. Meaning, again, this is a retroactive case, so he was already mafrish based on the first bedika, and now he has consumed some of the wine based on that bedika. Now he's to do replacement afresh because he finds today, a week later, a month later, that the yayin has turned to chometz. What about the wine that he already drunk? Does he have to be masaking that wine? And can we say perhaps that once he went ahead and he was mafresh, that creates and generates a chal shem truma, which is mamon shevet b'kinyonim, and we can't be motzi from the kohanim b'safek? Because again, before the 3 days, even Rabbi Shuv ben Levi agrees it's only a suffix. So now that he's already been mafresh, he can't get it out of the hands of the Kohen. I time it, what's the logic that underlies Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? And the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi believes that immediately at the time of the Bedika, we start with a suffix, because Chamra mitatoi okar. The yayin becomes chometz. The first part of the wine that becomes chometz is mitatoy, is on the bottom of the barrel. The emar, and therefore, despite the fact that at the beginning of the month or beginning of the week he made that bedika and the wine was still fine, but emar okar v'lavadaite. The wine in the barrel had already begun the process of becoming vinegar. He didn't know about it. Why didn't he know about it? Because he tasted from the top of the barrel. And then he says, "V'imtim tzalom." And even if I'll grant you may Eloi akar, which was the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, "V'te'ime v'lo akar." And now he tasted it, and it was still wine. It tasted like wine, but Dilma Basar de'te'ime akar. As soon as he completed his bedika, that's when the process of chometz began. Havi recha chala v'taime. Chamran. Already after the bedika, the wine began to smell like chometz, although it still had the taste of chometz, but this process of becoming vinegar had begun, and he was unaware of it because he had done his bedika and he found everything to be fine. V'recha chala v'taymei chamra chala. And according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, once the smell of the wine is identical with that of vinegar, it already has the status of vinegar and has lost its status as wine. So if the Braisa would have stopped here, we would understand that Rav Yosef, in his response to Abaye, by quoting this Braisa, is basically telling him that the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Chisda, did I get the names right? Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chizda is identical with the machlokes in how to interpret this braisa between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But the braisa continues. Well, actually, let me just correct what I said. It's not that the braisa continues. We had that last line of the braisa. That was the end of the braisa, and that last line was ambiguous, lending itself to different interpretations. The Gemara now, in addition to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is going to offer a third interpretation of that last line in the braisa, and that's the Dromoi, the Southerners. These are the Chachamim from the Durham, and we find this word dromoi very often. Usually, according to Rav Yaakov Emden, the intention of the word dromoi in Shas is Romans, from the Lashon Romoyim, Dromoi. But here, in this case, it means Ziknei Hadorim, the scholars from the south. Masnu Mishmeid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they had a different version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And we showed him in the first 3 days after the original Bedika, there is no Safek, Vadayayin. Okay, so that sounds exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. And Achronim, the last 3 days, going backwards from the second Bedika, where he found it to be Chometz, is Vadai Chometz. And Tzayim, Safek. So this is really a balance sheet between the Sheet of Rabbi Yochanan and the original version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because in the original, before Dromoi formulation, we had a machlokas that was from one extreme to the other. Does the Safek begin 3 days after the first Bedika, all the way up to the second Bedika, or does the Safek begin with minus 3 days, going backwards 3 days from the last Bedika? Now we're saying is we have three and three. You have the first 3 days after the first Bedika, that's Vaday Yayin. You have the 3 days going back from the last Bedika, it's Vaday Chometz. And the Safek is Chal on all the days in between. Now the Gemara doesn't understand how to present the Chachmei Adorom as an integral logical shita. There's no cogency, hel gufa kasha. In other words, if you're telling me that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in this new formulation, Amrit Rishonim Vadayayin, that even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi agrees that after the first Bedika we can assume for the first 3 days it's certainly Yayin Alma, you must be assuming that Recha Chala V'taymei Chamra Chamra, that even though after the first Bedika the process of Hachmotza has begun and it began smelling like Chometz, nevertheless since the Tam for those 3 days is that of Yayin, it has the status of Yayin. But other Amrit, now you turn around and say that Achronim, that anything before the last 3 days before the final Bedika is Vare Chometz. Now, what do you mean? After all, the process of Hachmatza was going on during those 3 days, and admittedly the smell was that of Chometz during those 3 days leading up to Chometz, the last Bedika. Alma Recha Chala V'tayim Chamer Chala. We see that once it has the smell of Chala, then it has, even though it tastes like wine, it has the status of Chala of vinegar. So what is it? You know, take a stand on this issue. Do we go Basar Tam or do we go Basar Reah? And the Gemara answers that what happened according to Chachmei Adorim in their scenario in the last Bedika Kodesh Takach Schala Siptika. Siptika means very, very strong vinegar, you know, with all its charifus. If not for the fact that the process of becoming Chometz, not just in terms of the smell, but even in terms of the taste, had begun in the last 3 days, it wouldn't be such strong Chometz. So it means that even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi agrees, according to the Dromai's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that during the first 3 days following the original, or the original Bedika Tzvada Yayin, even though at that point the smell is that of Chometz. And we see clearly that this middle stage where the wine on the one hand smells like vinegar, on the other hand tastes like wine, it's considered wine. And that's why the Afrashas Truma is absolutely reliable and valid. Now let's go back to Abai's question of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef quoted this brisa in order to answer Abai's question, how do we paskin about the bracha in this case where the smell is that of Chometz and the taste is that of Yayin? Does it still maintain its original bracha as Bor Per Gofen, or now has it shifted to Shahakol? So the Gemara wants to know Kiman Poshetli. So now that Rav Yosef has quoted this long brisa that we went through, and we have Rav Yochanan, and we have Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who does he paskin like? And on that gufa, the Gemara has a machlokas. Pligi ba, there are two opinions as to what Rav Yosef's opinion is. Rav Mori and Rav Zvid, Chad Omar, according to one opinion, Rav Yosef's intention in deriving a conclusion for this price is Kirab Yochanan, that the bracha is still maintained at Bar Priya Gofen. And the reason for that is because the taste is a taste of wine. V'chad Omar, according to another opinion, Rav Yosef actually accepted Rav Yeshua ben Levi and the bracha is shahakol, because the smell is that of vinegar. The Ritva has two different interpretations of this machlokas. According to one interpretation, each one accepted from his Rebbeim a different understanding of Rav Yosef and what Rav Yosef had in mind. According to another pshat, the Ritva offers, each one of them not amidas atzmo liyechem yatzdanim. Each one of these amoraim had logically on his own come to that position, and therefore he interpreted Rav Yosef as supporting his position. The Rashbam says that since according to the Shita of the Dromoi, even Rav Yishuv ben Levi agrees that the smell of wine of vinegar is not enough to undermine and cancel the status of the Yayin, therefore halacha, we should paskin like the Shita of Rav Yochanan, insofar as there's a very strong possibility that even Rav Yishuv ben Levi agrees to Rav Yochanan on this point. Now there's a Tosfos here, there are two Tosfos that start with the word my. I wanted to call your attention to the second one. Tosfos asks, since we can interpret Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Tosfos wants to know, how does the Gemara know in the original formulation and understanding of Rav Yishuv ben Levi that he disagrees with Rav Yochanan on the issue of where the process of chimitz begins, whether it's up on top or on the bottom? After all, it says here, v'imtim tzolomer me'iloy akar, and it seems that the Gemara does recognize the possibility that according to Rav Yishuv ben Levi, like Rav Yochanan, the chimitz process begins milamala. Tosfos says the Gemara holds that according to the truth, l'fia emes, the wine actually begins to turn to vinegar in the bottom of the barrel, and therefore the Gemara would rather prefer to interpret Rav Yishuv ben Levi in that light. That's how the Maharam says it. And therefore, the kasha here is on Rav Yishuv ben Levi. The Ritva is of the opinion that the Gemara doesn't really come to any conclusion, any definite conclusion, according to Rav Yishuv ben Levi, where the process of Hachmatzah begins, but the Gemara really wants to bring every case that might come under the Suffolk, and therefore even if the Afrasha was done immediately following the Bedikah, or at the time of the Bedikah itself, and the results of the Bedikah, the first Bedikah, was that there was no Reach of Chometz, nevertheless it could be possible that despite that, the Suffolk began even then, immediately following the Bedikah, and the reason for that is because the Hachmatzah process begins milamata. Now according to the Ritva, the Gemara didn't mean to say that for sure Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi holds that the Hachmatzah begins lamata, but that is certainly a possibility, and the Gemara wants to offer two different possibilities as to why the last 3 days before the last Bedikah are Vare Chometz, because even if Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi agrees to Rabbi Yochanan that the Reach of the Chometz does not undermine the status of the Yayin as Yayin, but on the other side of the equation, he holds Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi that the process of becoming vinegar begins lamata, and therefore it's impossible to say that the first 3 days are vada yayin, because perhaps, you know, 2 days before the Bedikah there was already a change in the status or the physiology of the wine, and there was already a nekar tam milamata. And yet, we don't say that after a day it became chometz. It must be that the Braisa really holds that 3 days is a vadai, because the last 3 days it's vade chometz, and therefore we must assume that he found very strong chometz with, as we said before, charifus, and we know for sure that the process of Achmatza began 3 days earlier, as the Gemara is going to interpret the Shita of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi according to the Dromoi. Okay, Rabbosai, we got up to Itmar. There's a lot more to discuss, but this is where we're going to we're going to stop here. And in fact, on Daf Tzadiv Amud Aleph, we're almost at the bottom of the Amud. The next Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about the din of Mekachtos in the case of someone who sold a chavis of yayin and it became vinegar. And then we're going to go on to a very important brisa here on Daf Tzadivav Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan on the fourth line down. So Mirz Hashem, B'li Neder, will try to fill that in the next shiur.